ones and a bitch ain't one.
And it goes a little something like, I like immigrants. Immigrants inspire me, man. They get here, they be so happy. They look up at the buildings like, wow, it's beautiful. And we go, you like it? Good. You gonna clean the bathrooms.
I'm from Texas. I'm from a little town called Racism. Sure you heard of it. Nice little place.
During the election, there was some lady from Ohio, and she was like, I'm afraid if Barack becomes president, his black's just gonna take over. Like, that's a weird, like, you're gonna be giving a speech. I wanna say to all the American people that I am your motherfucking president.
I'm more afraid of the trailer park than the ghetto. I'm not afraid of some black guy with 20-inch rims and gold teeth. I'm afraid of a redneck with a gun rack and no teeth. That's what I said.
Okay.
Here we go.
You guys ready?
Here we go.
Hey. Welcome to Hick Hop Radio.
Yeehaw, Sean.
What's up, y'all? This is Kyle Grooms and my co-host,
Dustin Chaffin.
Today we got a hot show, man. Very, very funny comedian. Mike Britt, you know him from Bad Boys of Comedy, the original Def Jam. He's a regular in comedy clubs around the nation. One of the funniest guys in the game. Also, Ophira Eisenberg.
Not in the building, so we don't know yet.
We'll talented from NPR Radio. She's not in the building yet. She's probably lost somewhere in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
On J Street.
But
white girl lost. Yeah, she'll make it. Well, Brooklyn ain't a bad neighborhood no more for white people. Yeah, a black person got
to
be worried in Brooklyn now, you know?
There's so many white people walking around. I think I'm lost.
Like, hey, is the Upper East Side? Yeah. Yeah, Brooklyn's changing a lot.
Bike lanes.
A whole lot.
Whole lot.
City bikes. You do city bike?
City bike. I haven't done a city bike yet. Outside the projects, word.
Outside the projects.
You know they got hidden cameras in them city bikes, right?
Yeah, I saw the article.
I read that article.
So
yeah,
crashed on a bike and it broke the screen. And when it broke the screen open, they saw a camera.
City bikes is snitching.
This way while you're riding, and one that points towards you.
Takes this whole scene. So
Big Brother don't.
Yeah, you know they ain't gonna, leave no bikes in New York with no.
A cop was like, they was talking to somebody about it, and they was like, well, don't worry. If you're smoking weed or something on the bike, we're not going to arrest you.
Yeah,
like,
they won't arrest you for
rape.
What about rape? What if you
feel you? Yeah, I'm like, why weed? That's somebody that smoked weed. Tell them on themselves.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thinking that that's going to be the crime, you're going to be smoking weed on a city bike. What if you rob a city bank on a city bike? No? Okay.
Nothing.
No, nothing. <What's going on? laughs> No, yeah, like, am I bombing?
That was good like that.
Yeah.
But I think pretty soon we're all going to be on bikes. I think it's going to be like Mad Max. We're going to have no gas. We're going to just be walking around, freaking scavenging like Book of Eli. Eventually it'll get to that, man.
Good thing you're a cowboy. You can bring your horse back.
I will. I can ride a horse.
You can ride a horse?
My whole life, absolutely.
Really?
Yeah. Who doesn't ride horses?
Me, I don't like horses. I don't feel
Why
comfortable.
Why not like horses?
I rode a horse once. I was like, I'm not impressed.
Horses are great.
They're made for us, man. It's amazing.
And I used to do a Christopher Reeves joke, and ever since then, I'm like, I'm not going to ride a horse because I feel like I got it coming.
Karma?
Karma, yeah. Yeah, I got it.
So, you want me to be moving around with your mouth with that?
Yeah,
with
so that I said,
I remember somebody, who was it? Forget the comic. He did this horrible Christopher Reeve joke. He says, yeah, there's a new Superman coming out where there's kryptonite in every scene.
So he can't move. You did that joke. Tell the truth, Dustin.
I didn't do that.
He said there was this comic I can't name, but
no, it was the guy who used to write for Kimmel. Remember that kid, Josh? I forget his name. Jewish
Josh
kid.
Chaffin.
Jewish kid.
Josh Chaffin.
That's racist. That's
Josh Chaffinowski. Josh Chaffinberg.
Okay. Nothing.
Oh, nothing. Still, I'm sure people out there in the listening audience are laughing. If you thought that joke was funny, email us at hickhopradio@gmail.com.
Nobody email us. Who's gonna email us? Your mom? Nobody's emailing us.
Man, you know how many emails I got last week from the Trayvon Martin speech? Trayvon Martin trial. We got a lot of hate emails last week.
All right. I feel like we started too early. How you been, man? You good?
Yeah, I've been good, man.
You just like ran into boom. We didn't even.
Yeah, nah, we
even
good.
Give it up
just
for
go with the flow.
Yeah.
Oh, Mike Britt, we didn't clap for him.
No, man, get it for Mike Britt.
Get it for Mike Britt.
Oh, that's how y'all do.
Yeah.
All right, well, clap for my damn.
Kyle's all over the place.
Just that you here on time, we good, man. Yeah.
I'm always on time, my brother.
Beautiful. That's
how was your week, Kyle?
Good? My weekend was great, man. I had my family reunion, my mother's side of the family.
How's that?
Starling family, 14 brothers and sisters, kids in the Starling family, and an extended family from all over the country. We went and took over a hotel in Pennsylvania.
Got any hot cousins?
And turned it up.
Yeah, he's educated black man, extended family. What happened to my cousin? And them? What happened to that?
My cousin and them. Yeah, we
Nobody
had. We
said they was at the
expanded
family
my still with extended family.
Family.
Okay, that's just using my vocabulary. But yeah, it was a good time, man. Poconos at the Split Rock Resort. Like every year, every 2 years, we'll go to a different city, depending on where we have relatives, and the people living in that city are responsible for putting together the whole event. And this year it was in Pennsylvania. We turned up a hotel room, man. We had a Olympic Games amongst the family members, you know, and we danced, and I had to do comedy, and I had to redeem myself because I bombed at the last family reunion.
Why would you perform at the family?
Why would you do comedy?
Why would you do comedy there?
I would never.
Because
do that.
If you're a comedian, if you're, you know how it is. If you get anywhere with your family and there's a microphone, they're gonna expect you to perform.
You're gonna perform, right?
You're gonna perform, right? Yeah, you have to.
Right? Said, nah, I'm hanging. I'm just chilling right now.
But this time was better because I did it as the MC. I just MC'd the because we have a dinner and then we have all the.
Please tell me about the last time though.
I bombed off. And I'll tell you why I bombed, too.
That's tough with a bomb in front of your family.
Yeah, I bombed, first of all, and I'll tell you why, being an idiot. I decided to smoke a little weed.
There you go.
And then I got up there, and my aunts are looking at me, my mother. And I got a little paranoid.
You felt guilty.
Yeah, I felt a little guilty, and I couldn't curse. I was just like, And they introduced me all awful. Somebody introduced me wrong. It was just bad energy,
man. How many
man.
Years in a comedy?
Oh, this was 2 years ago.
He said 2 years ago. How long did you do? 2 years ago. Did you give yourself the light?
As short as possible. I just bowed out. Like, this ain't going well.
Did you try to work
with me? Nah, I was so.
I know Uncle Rap.
That movie guy.
I know they on Stacy over there.
Hey,
you went to jail.
You coming in late. Can we get.
Feel yourself bombing. You're like, I know you probably drunk, Uncle Steve.
Yeah,
man.
I gotta get off this stage. I bet you didn't have no stage. You had a stage?
No, I didn't have a stage.
I knew you didn't have no stage.
It was at a podium. It's at
you
a podium.
That's a bad,
it's even worse.
Bad start.
Yeah. I'm sorry just to jump in on this, but this sounds like the worst idea I've ever heard in my entire life. What you're talking about. Family.
Yes.
How do you agree to do this stuff?
Oh, it's his family, you know.
We have different brains. We have very different brains, you and me.
Yeah,
just go, no.
Yeah. You can't say no, man, because
yeah,
they all
you
know
yeah,
you're
you
a comedian. They're like, hey, you going to do some comedy?
You can say
no.
You going to do some
the
comedy?
No.
You can say
the answer
no.
is no.
The other people got jobs,
like,
and
nah,
they ain't
chilling.
Do none of their jobs at the family reunion.
Yeah,
did
but
anybody
you,
else
you know
do their
is.
Job?
You know
no,
how
I've done it once in front of family and friends, but it was a book show in my hometown, and mm-hmm. I felt like I was alive at my own funeral. That's the only thing I could compare it to. It was the
yeah,
worst.
Yeah, for family, right?
Yeah, yeah, because
they
yeah.
know you, and then some of your family is funny, think they're funny themselves.
Oh, they
so,
think
you know.
They are hilarious, yeah, clearly. Yeah. Like, they just missed an opportunity that you took and went on stage, right? But they're sitting there going, my mother is always like, I wrote a lot of this stuff. I'm like, you're not even, like, in my act at all. Do you understand? Write anything.
And they say, with this family, you could do a lot of material,
yeah, exactly.
huh? That's
exactly.
Well, it's funny. In the beginning, you know, at least a lot of people do comedy in front of family because, you know, you have to bring a crowd sometimes.
Yeah.
So I perform in front of my family a lot. I remember one time my mom kind of heckled me a little bit, like 6 months in, and I'm busting on my mom on stage trying to be funny. It was awful.
That was in New York?
That was in Texas, actually.
Oh, in Texas?
Yeah.
Oh,
terrible.
You had a little planned act?
No, we didn't. It was just unfunny and awful.
Did your uncle come up with his banjo? No.
Nothing.
Nothing. No, I didn't have a music.
That's three in a row. You're out.
That's
Adam,
three.
Adam, get in there. Adam, get in there.
A musical act.
Three. One, two, three strikes, you're out.
That's it.
two brothers get together.
I just tell my family
pick
too.
Pick on a hillbilly.
Every time I said anything mildly amusing or witty or like mildly, they would just go, "You should put that in your act, And I had to under my breath, I'd be like, "It's already in my act. You know, I'm not using new material on you people. I'm still trying to get your approval."
Yeah, family, they don't quite get, you know, sometimes how hard it is. Like that's because I think after a while. It's like, I hate the comparison. Like, sometimes my family will do that. Oh, and then they'll say things like, "Why don't you just get on Letterman?" Really? I'm just going to get on Letterman?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, call him up?
You make that call.
Yeah, yeah.
People do that in the street.
You ain't going to do no movies.
When I'm going to see you with your HBO special.
You're going to do some movies.
Like, you know what? Let me call the Eisenberg brothers up right now. You right, motherfucker. Let me make a phone call.
But then, and then you do get something, and I, you know, then they're like, "So when are you doing that again?" I'm like, "I just fucking did it." I'm not allowed to do it once.
Like, when's your next show? I just got off stage.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Like, Jesus. Yeah, I got a Showtime thing, and the first thing my brother said was, "Well, it's not Letterman, but it's pretty good." You know, it's exactly what he said. I was so excited, and then just fucking, just want to cry.
Justifying your own life.
Meanwhile, he's living with my mom, but whatever. I think I win a little bit.
Right, but you never want to throw that back in the face, because that just seems so rude and desperate.
Yeah.
Right? So you just sort of, you have to just deal with all
you take it.
You have to swallow it.
Yeah, you got
to
eat it.
We just put all this inside of us. Sometimes.
Nah, you could throw it back. Just keep it in the chamber. You might have to fire that one off one time.
Yeah, I'm hanging on to it. I'm hanging on to it.
Yeah, well, he's in prison right now, so I think I got
to. Nah. Oh, no, so staying with your mom. Family. I was like,
no, that was back then. This is back then.
So yeah, Ophira showed up. Came. Yeah, because you. Yeah,
that's why
we did your intro before you.
Yeah, we, we did your intro.
Eisenberg, thanks. Everybody.
Hi,
Ophira Eisenberg.
How you doing?
Good.
Everything was okay. Did you get off on the right stop, J Street?
Yeah,
Okay.
I know how to get here.
Oh, okay.
I just with, you know, your elevator. People were freaking out because the buttons didn't light up. They were freaking out.
Oh,
there was
elevator.
A lot of discussion. No one knows. This feels like you're going in an elevator. Who knows where you're going to go? No buttons are light enough.
Touched a button.
It could be, the unknown is very scary in an elevator. So.
Saw that movie. Did you see that movie? Devil Inside or some devil movie?
Yeah, the
movie.
Devil.
It's like just six people in an elevator.
It was
the
just
whole
called
movie.
Devil.
Devil, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's pretty good,
I keep
man.
Going by it on Netflix, but it don't look interesting.
It was good. Spoiler, should I spoil it? It turned out to be the old lady.
Why don't you
well,
do
there
that?
Goes that.
Well, yeah. Did they borrow a script from Scooby-Doo?
That's what it sounds like, right?
Yeah.
It was the old lady.
I just like when people can pull off like a simple, low-budget idea and then be successful with it, you know?
Yeah, those are
like
the best.
Whole, they are, like the Blair Witch and
like
all
Blair
that stuff.
Witch, yeah.
That was great. That spawned a billion copycats, but it just failed. All the copycats failed because that was the only one. They could have that element of surprise. You
well, there's
to do
a couple like Cloverfield and
Paranormal Activity scared the shit out of
that
me.
That sucked, yeah.
That sucked?
Yeah.
For real?
I saw like two, three. I like them.
Another one the other day that was good, man. That shit scared the hell out of me.
You just got to lose yourself that you're watching like a security camera.
Yeah.
And I think that's when
it feels
makes
so
you
real.
Scary.
And it happens so naturally. Yeah. I'll buy into
yeah.
it.
That's the first
scared the shit out of me.
Yeah.
Nah.
Last time I saw it, I had a show up in Rhode Island, and the comedy club is inside a movie theater, like an empty movie theater. Wow. So when you're not on stage, I go in another room and watch a movie.
That's nice.
And I'm sitting by the exit, and I'm watching this scary movie. There's someone standing there next to me. Someone came out and scared the shit out of me. That was my story.
Yeah.
You ever had any ghost experience? Anybody?
Ghost?
Any paranormal experience?
I don't believe in them. So yeah. No.
Really?
No.
Not at all?
What? No.
Yeah.
No, I never had no.
How are all these people? Do you think everybody's
I had one
for
weird,
attention?
I had a
like,
weird
is that what
one
it is?
One time.
Have you met the rest of the world?
Me and my wife was in my apartment when we was dating, and it was late at night, and I was listening to Biggie, and all of a sudden, you remember the stereos where you could, the LED light was on the knob so you could see the shit move up?
Yeah.
And sure enough, we were sitting there laying on the bed, and the volume went up.
Went up?
And we could see, because you could see the knob turn.
Was this before Biggie's death or after?
This was after Biggie's death.
Oh, so maybe he was in there.
So I was
turn
like,
turn it up, baby, Biggie. Baby.
I said, that's what we was laughing about.
Oh, really?
But that was some spooky shit.
Party and bullshit.
And that really happened.
Matter of fact,
we never tell nobody because nobody going to believe us. But if I call my wife now, she'll tell you that
really?
Biggie came and turned it up.
I like the idea of a
I'm
ghost.
Not lying. I'm not making it up. That was some spooky shit.
He didn't think he got his enough of his due in real life, he's so he's like, just going around turning it up.
It's too low.
Really? So the actual knob turned. It wasn't just the speaker.
The knob. Wow.
Really?
Hilarious.
LED light.
Old school. Yeah.
The old shit. Yeah.
It must have been bigger. No, it wasn't Tupac.
All right, you're out of here. Nobody. Leave. Get out of here. Adam, jump in.
Wow.
Ain't no mics with.
Oh,
turn the music on.
I thought I had a paranormal experience. I was having sex with this girl once, and I felt something.
That
wet.
Was it. That was it.
Yeah, that was my paranormal. You got me. I felt something wet on my back, but it was her dog. It was like her dog kissing me or some shit.
What?
You know, her dog was there in the room.
Disgusting.
How the fuck is that a paranormal experience?
You're mixing
because
up your...
I didn't know he was in the room, and all I did was felt something.
That's not a paranormal experience. That's what you thought was, and you wind up that you were having sex with a dog.
That's what I thought. I thought it was paranormal, but... No, next person. Somebody else talk.
Alex, get in there.
No, I have a lot of friends, though, that believe in ghosts, and they go on those, like, you can go on hotel tours where you only stay in... Haunted.
Yeah,
haunted
I've heard about that stuff.
Yeah, and you can take photos, then you can get the photo. Look at it. Well, get the photos developed. Hilarious. There's like lines of light and stuff like that until you find out it's all projections. I don't know if that's true. I'm just saying. Yeah.
Well, like the Amityville stuff, you know, people claim that those spirits made them kill people and stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, sure.
I think you could do enough with your mind that can make you see stuff and like. Feel things. Think that's what religion's all about.
Think about how delusional we all are.
Yeah. But my thing is, like, how could you believe in God if you do and then not believe in ghosts? You don't see God. You never talked to him, touched him. There's no validation for that. So why can't there be spirits out there? Who knows?
Only reason I don't believe in ghosts because whenever somebody sees a ghost, the ghost got their clothes on. Now, I know their clothes don't go into the afterlife.
Yeah, that's always weird. It's always Little House on the Prairie
Girls.
They bury
their clothes, man. What they were supposed to have on a sheet with holes cut in
it? Yeah, but if you're in the spiritual world.
We don't know about the spiritual world.
But that's what a ghost would be, a spirit.
Well,
right?
Yeah.
The flesh
with
is dead.
With what he died in.
But the clothes didn't have the human spirit. He would be naked.
Yeah, they're always flowy too. It's not like
why don't he have the coffee?
That's what I want to know. Why goes angry? I mean, you dead. You good. No bills. No nothing.
You only hear from the angry ones.
It's gonna be frustrating. You're stuck in an attic or some old ass house.
A covered
1800. Yeah. What are you gonna do? Just walk around like you got nothing. You're bored out of your mind.
Turning up volume.
Yeah.
Doing shit like this.
Just like, thank God for Biggie that night.
All right. Opening the cabinets again. I got it.
Nice callback. Boom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yay. Ghost. Scooby-Doo.
No. I had...
How do we get on ghosts?
What's that?
So how do we get on ghosts?
I don't know.
She did Scooby-Doo or something.
Scooby-Doo. Oh, yeah, because we were talking about the paranormal activity in an elevator. I would love to have a mystery van. No, I grew up in my little town had a carnival.
What town was that?
Calgary, Alberta.
Oh, in Canada.
And really? Yes. Oh, yeah. So now it's not a little town anymore, but there's a Calgary Stampede's little carnival. And they had a haunted house, one of those things that, you know, a flatbed truck pulls in and they kind of pump it up. Right, and then it's you have a little buggy that goes through. And it's lame. It's just like a light goes off, or like there's a little scary guy. But at the end, they used to have a real guy in a hockey mask chase you with a chainsaw.
Holy.
That was the
a
final...
real chainsaw.
Yeah, a real. And that smell of that diesel.
The gas and all?
The diesel gas. Right, yeah. That still scares the shit out of me. If I smell diesel gas, I'm like, ah.
Oh wow.
Yeah. So there you go. That's my ghost.
I want there to be ghosts. I want there to be aliens. I want all those things.
But aliens, I wouldn't mind, but ghosts, no.
Yeah, but it's
and they were always angry too. You ever notice
that? Aliens?
Aliens too.
They
everything we don't know about it can't touch. Everything is angry.
Mars Attacks, my favorite ever. It's so funny because they come down and they're like, and they just kill everybody. It's awesome.
Are they all angry? Really, all depictions of aliens are angry?
E.T. wasn't that mad.
Yeah, he seemed all right.
I think,
but the people that left E.T. was a little pissed off, weren't they?
I think that's just how we market everything. America markets everything. The black man's angry. The alien's angry. Yeah. The ghost is angry. Like, you know, I think that's just
that's
how we perceive
we
it.
All, yeah, we're
something we're afraid of. Something's different from us. We're like, oh, he's angry.
He's angry.
Right. Like, that's the first reaction.
Yeah, you should have seen those lights not on the elevator. People are losing it. All a mess.
So let's do some comedy talk. How about that? Before you
What's
guys got
on?
Here, we were talking about this latest controversy. This YouTube comedian who's been...
He's not a comedian.
He's not a comedian. He's a YouTube...
Sensation.
He's a YouTube personality.
Yeah.
And he's...
Nothing makes me feel older than that statement.
A YouTube personality, right? Oh, yeah, right? It's YouTube. Yeah, YouTube. This Twitter sensation.
Oh, God.
This new Vine star.
Yeah, exactly. Have you watched my YouTube channel? Oh, my God. I'm going to kill myself. Yes. Okay.
Well, this YouTube guy, Kane Carter, he has like 95 million views on his channel, has about close to 100,000 followers.
95 million? Are you
no,
sure
I'm
about
sorry.
That?
95 million views. Not followers. Views. 95 million
Hits.
People.
Can
yeah.
We, can we put
that's
that in?
Like 3 Super Bowls. You know what I mean?
Really? That's so in context, that is a lot.
Yeah.
No, I'm serious. Because
yeah,
because
Super Bowls maybe
are...
like 30 million or something. Watch. Is
right.
that? Or maybe more. The Super
95
Bowl.
million?
I thought
views. Giannis got a lot of hits.
Yeah.
That is nuts.
But the thing is, he's done a lot of Patrice O'Neal's material verbatim.
Perfect.
Like when they play it word by word, it's ugh. Like him. It's Patrice's stuff. Patrice's, you know, material.
Yep. And who has called him out on this?
Well, Dante, he said something about it.
Like in the comment section?
No, he's kind of he's come at him, I think.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
Dante
okay,
sent
good.
Him a few they tweets, a few to, negative
okay.
tweets.
Try to get him on the show, like his show he does, Black.
And then
yeah,
someone
yeah, yeah.
edited someone edited his stuff together and Patrice's stuff back to back. And it's been going around the internet for the last couple of days. And people have been calling him a hack, a thief, and whatever. But then he came with a response video saying that he only did it to get Dante's attention. To pay homage to Patrice O'Neal. That's what he's...
What an idiot.
Yeah, it's
fucking I mean,
ridiculous.
It's like day one. Talk about someone that, like, in day one of life. Like, you know you don't do that. So
yeah.
That's just
yeah, I'm just
ridiculous.
I'm just happy that Patrice is finally getting his due. Like, it's like a great comic. Because when he was alive, I mean, towards the end, he was getting some heat with specials and stuff. But he's been funny forever.
Yeah.
And he's been funnier than everybody in the room, every club, every show. And it's a night, you know, he's kind of getting this kind of Hicks kind of thing.
Yeah,
going.
Bill Hicks, where
yeah,
after
so
post-mortem, he
yeah,
gets more
it's
love.
It's nice to see because we all knew him.
Yeah.
And so it's nice to see this, you know, that he's kind of almost T-shirt, getting close to T-shirt icon kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, that's a good idea.
Be a few years.
I'm going to sell Patrice T-shirts. Nobody wants to buy a Kyle Groom's T-shirt. I'll sell a Patrice T-shirt, and some of the proceeds will go to his mother and his family.
Yeah, just put like,
summer. He said summer.
10%.
Summer.
Ugh. Yeah. Oh, great. Let me write this down. Ugh.
Look at you. You're worse than his kid.
Yeah.
Make money.
Hey,
out.
People do Richard Pryor T-shirts. Why is you know?
Well,
but not while he was like you know.
Not yeah. yet. Wait a few years.
Wait a few years.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Wait, that's what I was. Thinking. He's on his way to an icon. The T-shirt thing was just you know. I didn't mean it.
Yeah.
But he uses the fact that he's not a comic as a bailout.
Yeah. He says, yeah.
Well, people rip off songs. I see, you know.
He's a cover comic? No.
No, there's no
such
I mean,
there's
that's
no
ridiculous.
Such thing.
There is, actually. There's a Joan Rivers. There's a Rodney Dangerfield.
Oh, but
there's
those are impersonators.
Oh, right.
And,
yeah, they,
and,
right,
yeah.
Right.
Right, but that's impressionist,
like
though.
In Legends or
yeah,
whatever,
but they
like
do
that.
The material, though.
But he's not yeah. doing, he's not dressing up in a fat suit doing Patrice material.
No. Nah.
Which, now would that be okay?
Would it be okay?
Yeah, I'm gonna say no.
I'd give him more credit than just him spouting off his stuff as if it's his. You know.
But you really think there's some innocence there? Do you think that guy really is like?
No.
I had no idea that this is how it works with comedy.
A little bit. I think there is a naive kind of ignorance to, you know, the craft of stand-up comedy. Because I think you see movies all the time. People rip off material from comics and put them in lines and scripts. And they don't. I mean, all the time that happened. There was some Chris Rock material that went.
Oh, Chris Rock's stuff has been used.
And Jim Nightly David had
news
a thing
reporters. That, everyone
that somebody
uses
used
Chris
it in a movie.
Stuff.
And I think, you know, a lot of people just, you know, we're kind of the, you know, the low
it's just
end,
content.
The low end of showbiz. Like, no, people don't treat us with like the caliber of director and, you know, high end actor. So I think sometimes they rip off our material just like it doesn't matter a lot of times.
And you think by publishing, like the fact that you could take a video of Patrice O'Neill and put it next to this guy, it means that his stuff is out there for viewing anyway. So it doesn't even serve like a copyright or anything.
Yeah.
I mean, you can, like, there's books out that are just jokes of comics material that they didn't get permission. They're just, like, celebrating the comics, and they don't get any money from it. Hmm. Like, there's a couple books out. I've talked to people that were in these joke books, and, like, yeah, they used my joke and put my name, but, you know, they didn't
gave them credit.
Pay me.
Honorable
yeah, and I get any money off of it, you know? So that happens a lot. So, yeah, I think there is a, but this kid is obviously an idiot, and he's trying to, like, he's trying to make it, like, nobody's going to know that it's Patrice's, you know, material that
yeah,
he's doing.
He's spitting off this knowledge as if he's just a philosopher and a person that's someone's whole act.
And Patrice was a piece of shit with women and lived a life and had all this, like, darkness. This kid doesn't know anything about women or whatever. You could tell by the way he's talking. It's like he's trying to do Patrice's, like, ugh, about women and things. And Patrice was able to do that because he, you know, actually had interactions with these, you know, women. Some were idiots and whatever, but he ended up, you know, with a good woman at the end. But
I'm assuming,
you know,
if he spends a lot of time making YouTube videos of himself talking into it, he doesn't know a lot about women.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous.
So if someone steals your joke, do you confront them?
I have.
You have? Yeah. What joke somebody steal of yours?
Steve Hofstad, your manager, stole a joke of mine.
Wait, let's get this right. First of all,
your manager about my shit.
First of all, Steve Hofstad ain't my manager? Hell no. Steve Hofstad ain't my manager.
It used to be.
He wasn't in. I was never my manager.
He tried to.
Yeah, yeah.
He tried to.
Tried to with me too.
Yeah. Did he?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he tried. He's fucking relentless, man. He'll come at you.
He's nuts.
If he thinks he can make money off you, yeah, absolutely.
That's what it was.
Yeah. You guys are all marketable.
He wanted me to pay him for the weekend spots, like the regular spots. Like
75?
And I was supposed to give him, I said, what, dude? What? Are
you out of your
of $75 spots.
Money, you don't get paid over nothing you don't generate.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, oh, well, that doesn't work. That's not how it works. I said, that's how it works.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about. You better find them young rookie comics for that bullshit.
Wow.
The weekend, the clubs.
Yeah, yeah. Like, let me get that Dangerfield spot money.
Yeah.
But what was it? You forgot what you were going to say after slamming it.
Okay, one night we're on stage. We're at a club, and he came up to me, and he was talking to me, and he goes, you know, you do that trailer thing, you know, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And I said, yeah, the one that I did on television, that trailer bit about growing up in a trailer. He's like, yeah. He goes, well, I do something similar. I do a thing. I was like, really? You grew up in a trailer? Your name is Steve Hofstad. You grew up in a trailer. It's like he's trying to do some trailer thing about living in the ghetto in the trailer. And it was just, you know, it was obvious that I've done it on television, which I think is...
And you grew up...
Yeah. And I grew up in a trailer. Yeah. So it's like, I can talk about it. You're like a Jewish kid from, like, Jersey. You can't talk about it. Like, no, you can't. It's like...
Joke these, please.
Shut
trailer
up.
Trailer joke?
Yeah.
Your autobiographical trailer joke?
So, yeah, he was just saying we have the same bit, which comics sometimes hack you with that disclaimer.
Sure.
Okay, yeah. I just want you to know we have something similar.
Similar.
No, I've been doing this. Now you're saying you have something similar. Like, you weren't doing that
five
years ago.
Sometimes it is.
It does happen.
I tell comics, if I see them do something that I do, I will tell them. So I don't want nobody to come in back with me saying no shit, because I don't steal, never have, and don't need to. So if
it
I hear
can't
a
come
comic
from a good place.
It, I'll just tell them, not that they don't have to stop doing it, just let you know that I do something similar to that.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You're absolutely right. People
but it can be a disclaimer.
Yeah, they try to do it. Try to be slick.
So if you
joke stealing, please. We don't even have enough time to be talking about that
joke stealing topic.
With me?
Have you ever been accused of stealing a joke?
No.
Nah. He might.
Oh,
Britt.
No. Whatchamacallit said that when he came up here and the comics had to check him.
Who that?
Todd.
Todd Lynn? Oh, tried to say you.
Comics
you got
came
his?
To me. They was like, he said something about, this thing is his stuff sound like mine. And I didn't even get a chance to say nothing. The comics was like, this nigga been doing that shit way before you even saw you. And that's what I said when I heard and I went to him. I said,
what was the
dude,
bit?
Were you from Kentucky or wherever? I never even seen you before you started coming out here. So how the fuck I steal something from you? You wasn't even on TV.
What was
so where
the
did
bit?
I steal it from?
What was the bit?
No, he said my whole stuff about relationships.
Oh, your relationship. Trying to
oh,
say.
You talking about specific bits? Please, oh, okay. Man. Yeah. I woke up and seen people doing my stuff on TV.
Wow. You come out
I
of your
stopped
sleep.
Confronting people. Yeah. I stopped confronting people because it got to be so crazy that, and every time I stepped to somebody, everybody pussied out.
Nobody yeah, ain't nobody ever, gonna say, yeah, man. Said,
yeah, I did it.
You know.
Every time I stepped to somebody, I was like, oh, I didn't even know. I used to do. When I started comedy, they used to call me the Jamaican comic because I used to do so much stuff about Jamaicans and West Indians. And what's his name?
Did I did steal some of those jokes.
Will.
Yeah.
And I went up to him after. I said, Will, you know I do that joke. He's like, oh, Mike B. When I was Mike B.
He's like, oh, Mike B.
I never seen you do that. And I just said, man, shut the fuck up, man. I just walked away. We in the clubs together every night, all of us, at that time. We all know each other's material. How you don't know you didn't see me do that? Yeah. So after a while, I stopped confronting people because it was a waste of time, man. Well, it didn't even serve no purpose because I really wanted to hurt somebody. So yeah. I said, you know what? Let me just leave it alone.
One thing I like to interject, I don't want to make it a plug right away, but last night I did a storytelling show. And what was great about that, I produced my first storytelling show, and I had all these comics on, and there was no room for anybody hacking anybody because it was real shit from our lives. Mm-hmm. And that's what was so cool about it. It was like you didn't hear anything that sounded similar. Nobody sounded like the other person because it was like that. I think that's the key to not hacking is if it's
original
truly
life
from
stories.
Yourself.
Yeah.
And your life, chances are people aren't going to be able to take it.
I like that storytelling thing.
Yeah.
I love storytelling.
Ophira, oh my God. Beast. She was so funny.
They did it at Montreal one year. They tried it out.
Yeah.
The Moth has made it like super popular
it's
in New York.
So cool.
And around the world.
It was a Moth.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, it was a
the
Moth.
Moth. Yeah.
Yeah.
It took it to Montreal
and it's so funny because I started like work with the Moth now like 7 years ago, not really understanding that it was about to explode. Like a storytelling all of a sudden exploded. And now it's something that obviously was part of stand up. And then we went away from it. It was not trendy to tell stories on stage. I remember when I first moved to New York and I was kind of telling stories on stage and people told me that it was bad. Like, they were like, don't do it. It's too long. No one has attention span. Cut out all the fat. They were like, don't do that. And I was like, all right. You know, because the style was much more one-liners joking. So, but now it's changing again.
Yeah, I mean, the most successful comics, I would say right now, are Louis C.K. and Kevin Hart, and they're both storytellers.
Right.
You know, they both basically talk
I
about
I like it
stories.
For that reason, too. Yeah. Like, you know, sometimes you follow someone on stage that I call it, you know, and it's fine. I call it a premise stealer, where you're listening, and you're like, oh, I can't do that. Oh, my God, I can't do that. Like, because they have covered every premise
that's
on
what
the planet.
With
Headlining happens a lot of times.
Yeah. It's like everything's been covered, and then you come up there like, I know you've just heard 17 online dating jokes, but here's my take.
It's everything. Know? Even the thing with like you wanted to bust on the room first, and then they do that. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
right. Exactly.
They make fun of the thing on the wall. You're like, I wanted to make fun of the thing on the wall.
That one thing. You're like, damn. Damn it. The one picture.
That was my opener.
Well, when you get on stage, and I'd be like, hey, what's up, man? And, you know, the whole crowd goes, you're like, oh, they've already been talked to. But I always tell the crowd,
when people go, so where you from? And the crowd goes, they're from there.
Yeah, they tell you, the other person. The
crowd. Works in IBM.
We
leave them alone now.
Although I can't remember where I was this week. It was a different thing, but the crowd yelled back because someone was talking about the guy who was just convicted of having those three girls in his Cleveland apartment for 2 years or yeah, I mean 2 decades.
10 years,
But the person said those two girls, and it was a news item that day, and the entire audience yelled back. It was three. Like they were so angry that guy got the number.
They didn't have his facts.
Right. You gotta be topical.
Yeah.
What's his name? The other night I did a benefit show with Ray Ellen, and we did it last year in the same place, B.B. King's, same organization and everything. So he's sitting there doing something. This old lady, I mean, this lady sounds like she's like 80 years old. She said, "You did that last year." Then I heard her. I was dying in the back, right? So when Ray
take
came,
out the trash, take Ray, out the trash.
When Ray came off, he's like, "Hey, Mike." He said, you did this last year, too. But he booked it. He's like, I don't know what stuff you're doing, but just be careful about doing stuff for last year because some fucking cunt in the audience. He's like, some cunt in the audience just yelled out I did it last year.
See, you know
what? But you could redo material and people still not remember to, you know, be like, that's oh, it's true. Fresh. But Ray Allen's at, come on, take out the trash, take out the trash.
Yeah.
You gonna say, all you need to hear is that once.
Poconos.
Yeah.
I feel though if the audience in general is gonna be like, people stealing material, like if they're not gonna feel that bad about it, then they should also be okay with people repeating material. You can't, like, if they wanna treat it like songs, then we should be able to do
it. That's another thing that was pissing me off about this Kane story, because there were comments, I was reading the comments, and some people were giving him a pass, like, oh, forget them, they're haters, I still like you. Yeah, like, you know, people were still behind his back, so people are idiots, man.
Yeah, I mean, they'll get behind any bullshit cause on the planet that
has remember
nothing
OJ?
To do with anything.
Like, yeah, people
good.
Get behind anybody.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. People supported Zimmerman.
Yeah, exactly.
That too.
Exactly.
Yeah, he was in Texas, he got pulled over.
And he had his gun.
And his glove box. And then was snarky about it, apparently. He was just like, and told the guy, you don't know who I am? Like, now he's playing that? Really? I think it would be very incognito.
He's like, I've had some offers.
Yeah.
Exactly. Are you with CAA? Because I'm with Gersh.
I'm heading to a meeting right now.
Steve Hofstetter. Steve Hofstetter's repping me right now. Me and Kyle Grooms. That's his roster.
Kyle Grooms is opening for Zimmerman.
I'm buying the Laughing Devil.
Oh, yeah. When is that for sale? Currently for sale.
Yeah, it's for sale.
They don't still do nothing there, do they?
I think it's still going on, but I think it's for sale.
Do people ever go to that?
Nah. I think a little bit. The Creek in the Cave is so popular over there that they just can't compete with that. Because it's like really no cover. They don't really. They're not trying to make money. Like, you can't really do a regular comedy thing over there, like regular mainstream.
Long Island City,
you can't. Yeah, nobody wants.
I sold it out, but it's only like 20 seats. But I sold it out.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think they want good comedy over there, and I think Creek does good comedy. They have like Colin Quinn and good guys over
I've
there.
I've never been there.
I've been inside.
No, they're good, man. They're trying to do something different. That's why I think I did the storytelling thing. I'm trying to change it a little bit, not make it so. Let's entertain drunk tourists and do dick jokes and hey, nice shirt, and you know, trying to. Add a little depth to it, I guess. But anyway, but that place is, it's the design is weird, right?
Well, it's a hallway. It actually looks like, I always, you know, when, also in New York, I'm always like, oh, I miss alleyways. Like, I miss alleyways.
Yeah, it looks like a space between
but
two
this
buildings.
Is an alley, yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's like a space between two buildings like where they just, the Laughing Devil.
Oh, that's like, what it looks like?
Yeah, with that someone put a roof on.
Really?
Yeah, they put a roof on it, put a front door, long, and at first he had the comedy stage at the back of the room, but then he moved it to the center, so it's kind of like...
It's much better
like
in the center.
Like the old New York, it is much better in the center, because at least instead of just looking down this too long thing like it's a meeting... It's, you know, but then like, you have the wall and you have to kind of turn your head.
Yeah, it used to
right.
feel like playing like an Amtrak car.
Yeah.
You actually went
to the train comedy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Next station, Baltimore. All right, everybody. Yeah. Your next act.
Yeah, I used to do that room, but it wasn't worth it to come from Jersey where you got to pay $13 on a toll. Then once you get to Queens, you got to pay another $7. So it's like,
yeah, that's a weird spot over there. Yeah. I remember like 10 years ago, they were just talking about Long Island City being this. I mean, it just felt like a promised land, you know, like you're just like, yeah, it's just these artists and this bohemian thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's now it feels like there's just, I don't
it's
know, four bars and three coffee shops. Like it never really exploded to that. I mean, I think there's some definitely cool apartments over there. And
yeah,
stuff,
they do.
But I don't know. It's just people are either going to go into Manhattan. Or, you know what I mean? Like, I think if for entertainment, I think people are just going to go into the city. I don't think it's going
to... And it's called Long Island City. It's in Queens.
Yeah.
It's very confusing.
Yeah. Right there is the... They like...
And the 7 train...
They have a naming problem. That's their first problem. They change their name. And how impossible would that be?
Remember Boston Comedy Club in Manhattan? Like, yeah. That was confusing.
That was my very very first set in Manhattan. And not only that...
I think all of us, too.
And it was a bringer show, and I didn't understand the concept of a bringer show. And I was like, I just moved here. Yeah, I just moved here. And then the day of, I got that call. I was like, hey, you don't have any reservations. auditions. And I was like, oh, but I just moved here, so sorry. And they're like, no, you won't go on stage. And I was like, what do you mean? And I basically, I was working in a clothing store, and I barked in the clothing store basically all day. Wow. Got three people to agree to it, but I needed five. And then I got there, and they told me I wasn't going to go on until my five people came, and I felt so bad for these three people that when no one was looking, I waited for the person at the door to go to the bathroom, and I ran, and I put marks beside my name. And then I got up on
there
stage.
There you go. That's how you do it. That's how you
and
do it.
Good job. Good
bombed.
Job.
And then I bombed. And it sucked.
Now you wish you wouldn't, the three people didn't come.
Exactly. It was totally embarrassing. Like, I went to the ends of the earth to be embarrassed.
I remember the first show I went and did comedy, they was like, you got to bring people. And I sat around, and she was like, oh, you have to bring somebody to go on stage. I was like, oh, I don't bring.
Yeah. I'm glad I didn't
don't bring. Because, you know, that's after I was always a veteran in our world. And then when I started doing the mainstream stuff, she was like, bring. I was like, we don't fucking bring. You
right.
bring.
Right.
I bring the funny.
Yeah.
I'm like, bring people, too.
You bring the people. I got the jokes. You got the club.
When I first started comedy, I was still a Mormon, and I would bring, literally, sometimes it'd be like 30, yeah, they'd be like 30 to 60 people, like just from the church. So all these comics would get up and do all this like dirty material and just tank, you know, because everybody's
so. You know what? A polygamous religion is great for bringers.
I was like, oh,
you bought all your wives.
The clubs love me, man. They love me.
Those are the socially connected people you want to talk to. So how much people got out? They don't even have light.
No, they love me, man.
And they like
30, 40 people.
Oh, yeah, you're a rock star for
30, 40 people. The clubs.
Came in your buggy together.
Oh, you kidding?
How did they feel about the rest of the show? Like, would they enjoy it?
They were actually pretty good. Mormons, they get a bad rap. They're not that tight. What show?
The reality show.
Oh, is
No
there?
More Mormon.
Oh, is that
I
what it is?
What it's called. Yeah, you know, when they let them go into the real world. And then see if they come back.
Oh, no.
That's Amish. That's
Amish. Oh, that's Amish. It's the same shit.
Dude, I had electricity.
Is like,
this is a
electricity?
Yeah. This is a whole different.
But you know what? I'm with you, Mike.
Yeah.
We're the same thing.
Well, you know, Steve Young. We got some good guys. But I don't know.
Steve Young was a Mormon?
Yeah. Brigham Young produces some of the best quarterbacks in the
NFL.
I think
everybody at Brigham Young is Mormon. I think a lot of them are lying.
Well, not a lot of them. Mm-hmm. I mean, trust me, there's a lot that are, but there's some that go there for the athletics.
You. Did you go around with your white shirt and your tie knocking on doors and things?
I did.
You,
I did.
You did?
Yeah.
How that? Okay.
Yeah, I had the name tag and the tie and the short hair. The short hair. Yeah, it was in South America, Santiago.
Did you have your cowboy hat on?
It was Santiago, Chile. It was.
You got sent for your calling.
Yeah, that was the thing. Isla de Juan Fernandez.
I've seen the Book of Mormon, so I know how this works.
Got my calling. Well, first of all, I was supposed to go to Spain. I was supposed to go to the Canary Islands. And then it was like, oh, there's the Mormon missionary calling me back. But I was supposed to go to Canary Islands, and they had some visa problems. I ended up last minute going back to Texas. That was the weird thing. My hometown. Like, to wait on a visa to go to Chile. And so I'm in my hometown. Like, and I had left, like, rock and roll, long hair, motorcycle shit. And then I, like, converted because my parents are drug addicts and stuff. And I wanted to go opposite. I didn't want to become that. So I said, Mormons, that'll work.
Yeah.
I'll just go the opposite direction. So I became a Mormon and all that stuff. And then they sent me back to my hometown. So I went from motorcycle and I went back. And then I'm on a bicycle with the tie and the short hair. And like in my hometown knocking on doors.
Oh, wow.
Knocking on doors and would see people I knew. Like they'd drive up and see me like in a car or something. I'm on a bicycle.
Did you convert a lot of people or no?
Not in Texas.
Hell no.
What but, if you, do you think you'd had a better time?
There was a few.
Chile?
You think you would have been?
In Chile, probably about over 100. I baptized.
Yeah, those,
you were good at it.
Yeah, I was really good.
Right? Oh, my God.
Like and they were like, they
well,
were,
I was a branch president, which is equivalent of a, like a preacher or whatever. I'm good at running stuff, you know. I'm good at running shows. But, so I was like in charge of a congregation and stuff. I would talk to married couples about their marriage. I'd never been married. Like ridiculous
stuff.
Wow.
How is Chile, man, as a vacation spot? Is it a cool place to visit?
It's beautiful, yeah. Would you Santiago's a little smoggy, but you get up in the mountains.
Yeah, I like to go to places off the beaten path.
Great place to ski. Like, beautiful.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, some coolest skiing. Like,
I don't know if
nice.
I would take a recommendation from someone who went there to turn people to Mormon.
In Texas.
No, but I think I'm aware. I've traveled the world since then. I mean, it was a phase. You know, it's like I didn't want to be.
I'm fascinated by it.
Yeah, I just wanted to try something. It was either that or the army. I was like, wow. Fuck it.
And what a great rehearsal for stand-up comedy, right?
Yeah, it got me out of my.
You're selling a point of view.
Exactly.
Exactly. It's like the same
traveling,
thing.
Traveling. Yeah.
So in Texas, do you think you'll have an easier time converting people to Mormonism or joining a Klan?
Well, since the Klan is, you know, part of my family, I. But nah, whatever. I don't even know what you're talking about. But Mormonism is.
You know what the fuck I just said.
You talk about the Klan? I'll talk about the Klan. What do you want to know? I know everything about the Klan. My grandfather was a wizard. What do you want to talk about?
I was saying it was saying you think
I got
you
a life, son.
I was saying
Steve Hofstadter to do my material. My granddad was in the Klan. Really? Was he? I thought he was a rabbi. What are you talking about?
My uncle was a wizard.
And wizard.
My aunt was a witch.
I love wizards. Of all kinds.
You know my grandfather's Dumbledore.
Exactly.
Very cool. I think we're going to go to a musical break, and then we're going to get back into some funny stuff. So thanks for listening to Hick Hop Radio.
Welcome back to Hick Hop Radio. I don't know why I feel I have to do that every time we come back. I got to put on a radio announcery voice or
like
something.
It.
You do? Hick Hop Radio. We got a goat boy. Welcome back to Hick Hop Radio. We were just talking. One of the topics we talk about here is race. And I was, Dustin pulled up this article about the Sikh temple attack that happened, what, about a year ago, a year or two ago? Oh, Adam's going to read it. Good. Adam, go ahead, read.
Readings.
Adam Lucidi, our intern and sound engineer, comedian, great comedian extraordinaire.
Well, you said this was a year or two ago?
This happened like a year or two ago, right?
What the hell are we talking about this a year or two later for?
It's coming out. Because it's this a new story.
What's happening?
The worst audience ever.
I'll just go with the highlighted part, assuming that the answers that you guys need are there. 6 weeks after a white supremacist gunned down Pardeep Kalika's father and five others at a Sikh temple in the U.S. exactly a year ago, Kalik was skeptical when a former skinhead invited him to dinner. But Kalika accepted, and he's grateful he did. Since then, the grieving son and racist have formed an unlikely alliance, teaming up to preach a message of peace. They've grown so close that they've got matching tattoos on their palms. The numbers 8, 5, and 12, the date the gunman opened fire at the Sikh temple in Wisconsin before killing himself.
Wow.
That's like one of those things where they shove a picture of like, oh, look at that, a hippo and a bird became friends.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Killed the hippo's parents. That's funny.
My question for you, Mike, since I skipped over the other thing. Do you think somebody can be an ex-racist? Do you think that goes away completely? Or do you think they hold on to that and it's just a way to kind of publicly say, hey, I'm okay, when you're really not? What do you think about that?
I think you can be an ex-racist.
Oh, yeah?
Hey, don't look at my screen. And his heart changed.
You know, yeah, he had a total different view when he came back. So yeah, you could be an ex. You could be an ex anything.
You could grow and learn. Yeah, that's the thing
about. What
about
pedophile? Can you be an ex pedophile?
Huh?
What about pedophile? Can you be an ex pedophile?
Could you be ex gay?
No, you can't be. Right. That's
found the one.
I used to suck dick in high school.
Yeah, ain't no use to suck a dick. Who does that? Who does that joke? Who says,
I got one kind of like
you,
that.
You, yeah, yeah, yeah. You. Yeah, you said, what do you say? I used to suck dick, but, no, what do you say?
I didn't say I didn't used to suck dick.
No! Talking about, you used to joke, you can't. Yeah. Oh, for a semester.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't tap out from dick. Yeah, yeah, dick is forever. Yeah.
You're absolutely right, my friend. You can't be that. You can't be. That's the one. And you that's mentioned a good one, too. Like, oh, you say pedophile, but that one's maybe a little more difficult.
Yeah.
Because that's something in you.
Yeah.
Well, racism's in
you.
No,
racism is.
Hatred is
racism
in you.
Racism is learned.
So wait a second.
A lot of people don't even know why they're racist, but they just adapted it from their parents.
Or
and stuff.
Misunderstanding.
You don't become a pedophile from your parents and stuff, but you can become a racist. From
you can become a pedophile. Like, let's say, like, if there's people in your family that are very racist or whatever, you can take up that behavior. And if you're in a family that's very sexually abusive or whatever, then you can become pedophilic. Like, I think it, depending on your environment, can encourage that, is what I'm saying.
But it seems like there's an act involved here that makes the difference, right? Because if you're making the same thing about, like, gay. Well, when you're talking about men, you can't undo that. Pedophile, not sure, but racism definitely. So then it's thought versus act.
There's act. Like, let's say my father said the N-word around me my entire life.
Yeah.
I grow up thinking, well, that's just what you do, and then that's an act.
Yeah.
You say let's just say, or is that really what happened?
My entire
I like the let's just say that.
My entire family says it. Everybody says it. Everybody
he
I know
says
it.
Let's be clear.
Let's be clear.
Everybody says it. Everybody says it.
Wow.
They don't think twice about it. They hate me because I supported Obama. So it's like the whole thing is this back and forth. Like,
now you're a nigga.
You supported the N-word. And da-da-da. Yeah. But, you know, it's just. But I don't hate them for it. I think they're ignorant for it. But I don't, you know, I don't use that. It's just who they are. It's unfortunate. It's, you know, kind of this mentality that I've shed throughout my life, but a lot of them just keep it, you know, and they don't even think anything of it. It's like, it's nothing.
Is it because they haven't been out of Kilgore, or is it because they don't even attempt, or they don't know?
It's,
you know,
a little bit of everything.
Like, if the house was on fire and a black dude came in and said, like, nigga, get out of my house.
I think my mom would be the most open-minded. She's not really like that, but all the men are kind of like that.
If you are a racist in the 21st century, you just want to be.
Yeah, I agree.
There's no more ignorance or you didn't know. You want to be a racist now.
Absolutely.
It's just that simple.
Absolutely. And I think it's just a mentality. I mean, I know a lot of racists, man. And it's just like, and a lot of it is, it's their way of, they think it's funny. A lot of them think it's funny.
That's the one I hate the most.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah.
The ones that think it's funny.
The masses humor.
Yeah.
I hate that. Because that happens with a lot of things. Just sort of like, you get it with sexism, you get it with racism, you get it with a lot of things where people are like, oh, I'm just joking around. It's like, nope. Yeah, exactly.
He said, you use it. She said, yeah,
kidding.
In jokes and stuff. Yeah. They always use that in jokes. Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Kidding.
Maybe at the Klan Club, but they don't use it in everybody's jokes.
Yeah. Paula Deen reminds me of a person I knew in college who was from like Missouri, and she'd never been around black people, but she would say all kinds of goofy shit. Hey, Kyle, why do black people paint their houses a certain color? But Kyle is like, could we be regular, motherfucker? Just chill.
Right.
You know?
These white girls asked me in college, they was like, so your dad has a Cadillac, right? I said, what? Yeah. They were like, yeah, don't all you guys have Cadillacs? I was like, are you playing? Or they was dead serious.
Yeah.
Because that's what their people told them. So they haven't been around black people, so they don't know.
Yeah.
They'd be asking me questions, same thing. Your parents are still together? I'm like, my parents are still together.
It was one girl in particular. Everybody else was cool, and we were humans, but this bitch. This bitch was extra with it, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and I don't mind a little curious ignorance, but she was just a little too much.
No, there's a difference.
I mean, we had this history class, and it was a black professor. Now, I went to predominantly white school. There might have been three black professors in the entire university. And we had a paper to do. And I was in the library one time with my friends, and a girl in my class walked by, and she was like, I was always a procrastinator. So she was like, oh, hey, what's up? She saw me. She was like, you started your paper yet? And I was like, nah, I didn't even think of a topic yet. And she was like, oh, I've got mine's have done already. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm still trying to think of what to do. She was like, think of a topic? Why don't you just do it on the NAACP? Right? And I was like, what? So this is the funny shit, because all my people know me. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not that type for no stupidness. So everybody at the table got silent, like, oh, she about to get it. Right? So I was like, I decided not to go that route. I was like, NAACP. She was like, yeah. I mean, you know, you're black and he's black. So if you do the NAACP, you'll get an A. Hmm. Right? I said, okay. I said, here's a teaching moment. I said, so I would get an A then. She was like, yeah. And I said, okay. I said, have you ever had any black professors before this? She was like, no. I said, okay. What's your GPA? I said, do you have a 4.0? She was like, no, I don't. I said, well, why? All your professors have been white prior to this. So why didn't you get all A's? And she just froze. She was like, I didn't. She realized now how stupid what she said was. She was like, I didn't. And then she's like, okay, I said, all right, have a good day. And one of my friends, she was like, I never forget Tawanda. She was like, I'm so glad you did it that way, because we thought you was about to tear head off. I was like, no, she wouldn't have learned that way if I tore her head off.
Where'd you go to school?
Drexel University.
Drexel? What is that?
Philadelphia. Oh, Philly. Right down the street from the University
of Penn. Yeah, I performed at Drexel one. Okay.
You performed there?
That's the context of everything.
Yeah, I did. I performed there, a while ago. Yeah. I think. Yeah, sure.
I think race can be funny depending on the environment as well. I mean, like military guys and even comedians, we can sometimes bust on each other. And even with our material, if it's not coming from some horrific place.
Yeah, amongst friends.
You know, it's fun. I mean, I got black friends who bust on each other. It's not. It has to come from some place where that person
you
is
know the difference.
Okay with you. Yeah.
You can hear it. You can hear. You know the difference when it's fun and when it's not. And when it's trying to be masked.
As
funny.
As comedy, but it's just
I was just playing.
Ignorant.
No, you wasn't.
See, but that's the thing. It's all context, and you can't like write down whatever that formula is and go, this is how people should behave, because it's really a gut feeling of whether something's okay or not.
Yeah, well, it's like on stage, I see a lot of these young kids that try to do race material. I do a lot of race material, and I feel like I get away with it because people know I'm playing around.
Yeah.
I'm trying to present this thing.
It's tough for me to do.
I'm wearing a cowboy hat. Like, I'm obviously a character of myself when I'm on stage. A lot of these kids, I see them, and they're just trying to do an N-word joke, or they're
that
trying
to
racism. Do a Hitler joke.
Shock, right?
Yeah, it's awful to watch, because there's an art to delivering a joke that is edgy and being able to get away with it, and these kids have no idea.
I am so happy to report that I've been looking at the kids in comedy, and we have moved away from rape. Rape is no longer on the docket.
No more rape?
Boring. Okay. Now it's all about stabbing or hitting women. And I think that's a step in the right direction, people. I think we're really working on it.
Is there a Chris Brown thing at the end? Is that the
callback? Oh, God, no. It's all about them doing it.
Oh, them doing it.
Yeah.
Like I stabbed a bitch kind of thing.
Yes, exactly. Or thinking about it, or when it might be right.
Really?
Or, yeah, that's very trendy
right now.
It's
tough for me to talk about race. I was talking about somebody this the other day. Because of my demeanor.
Yeah.
As soon as I approach it, they like, you can see the body language. They're like, oh, it's gonna. So I always have to try to extra funny, you know, I'm trying to extra like let them know, like without dancing, like it's okay.
Right.
You know, I'm talking about it. It's cool, but if it depends on what I'm talking about, it's very difficult for me sometimes. I really have to find a proper route to do it.
Well, that's
to this day because of my demeanor.
Well, that's how it is with race. People assume I look like this. We're all racist. We wear cowboy hats and we're from Texas. Like,
I'm
just
talking about race.
Oh, he said race.
Because
you know,
he's tall.
Like white people clam up real fast.
You don't smile at every, you know, right, you don't right, show right, your like, teeth uh-oh, all the time. Uh-oh. You know, and if Mike's serious, I think a dude would be like, oh, this.
He's
not smiling. Hey, why ain't you smiling?
Right. Hey, looking at the sign. Comedy club, right? Oh, here we go.
Why you not smiling?
Let's get out of here.
Funny clothes, that solves everything. Funny clothes.
Like Ice Cube said, niggas always got to show their teeth. Right?
Remember that used to be the case.
Yeah, used to be the case.
Cool Bubba Ice.
Wow.
Yeah. Cool Bubba Ice.
Cool Bubba.
it's disarming.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. All right.
Let's
go to the next one. Hey,
ex-racist, I don't know, but you know. I think people can grow and change. But sometimes when people say they used to be racist, I remember this guy, what's his name? George Wallace? George
comedian,
Wallace.
Comedian
no, not comedian George Wallace. The governor of Alabama. I remember he was like, you know, remember he was like segregation today, segregation tomorrow, segregation forever. But now, like, well, he died now, but he was an old man in a wheelchair and like, you know, on his last leg. And he goes, I had a change of heart. And then he calls in his friend Timber. Timber, or whatever the brother's name was. He goes, look.
Be one of them brothers.
Yeah, yeah.
Not Michael.
Look, me and him. Look, we touching each other. Me and him as close as anybody. I love him like it. It was still like, nah, nigga. Yeah. Fuck out of here with that bullshit. Yeah, you know what I mean? And me, I'm close as him. How could I be racist if we, how could I be racist if me and him are as good as, I love him and he's just as good as me. What? He just as good as you.
He could eat off my plate and everything. Drink out my cup.
Yeah, like, what is he, a trained baboon? You son of a bitch. Fuck out of here. People think they ex-racist, but they just learn to accept. But there's still a little prejudgment or prejudice or a little higher, you know, like I have to accept you type thing.
There's prejudgment in everything we do, I think.
Yeah.
You know, we automatically assume things too quickly. You know, I think that's just, and that depends on environment. It depends on how much communication you got from a parent as a child. Because I think a lot of times, you know, kids are just, they're just evolving with what they see, and people are
that's
just
what
like,
I said, yeah.
Yeah, just, they don't know. I mean, if you're just, all your whole life, you're just hanging out with two racists in a Circle K parking lot, like, you don't have any depth to the world. Like, I mean, it took me, like, I've been to Africa, I've been all over the world, done comedy and different things, live in New York City, lived in Harlem. Like, obviously, I've done things that none of my family's ever been exposed to. So some of these, if my racist brother is a certain way, I think it's horrible, but at the same time, it's like he hasn't had the life I have, so he's not going to progress
and
evolve. Yeah, he's not going to evolve. I'm exposed to everything that he's never been exposed to, as far as like different race relations. And
except for in prison, and that was that forces you to be.
He's in prison.
To
exactly.
Pick a side, right?
Yeah, he told me when he was in prison, you know, it was basically, he's a big boy, has a shaved head. He's not a skinhead or anything. He got the shit kicked out of him by these Latino guys, and then this kind of swastika guy or whatever, skinhead guy, was like, look, if we ink you up, you know, you can be with us and we'll protect you. And, you know, no brown gangs are going to come on you and you'll be fine and da da da. And he said, look, dude, I'm in here for DUI. I'm only going to be here 2 years. I don't need
I gotta
swastika
get a job when I get out
on my back for the rest of my life. I'm a tourist. I'm out of here in 2 years. But he, you know.
Well.
So after it he forced, got the swastika.
But prison does force race relations sometimes. It does. It actually.
No, it does. Not sometimes.
Yeah.
It forces you to make alliances.
Yeah.
It's in the first.
No. I mean race relations with like black and white, like together. Like you have two guys working like a job together in a library. No. I don't mean, there's definitely that. But I just mean more like, you know, sometimes they purposely do that. Or they put people together.
Force you to be around other cultures.
Yeah. That's, you know.
But then you stay with your own group. For safety.
Yeah, usually. It depends on the facility. I mean, some, you know, hardcore places are one thing.
Yeah, you're talking about federal prisons.
Yeah, it just depends. But I don't know. I just think. But the comedy, I always talk about it. But
I go to prison now, I'm getting down with MS-13. That's the run shit now.
MS-13.
The black and the white. I'm Mexican.
You've been watching. What is
that? I mean, but just look at this room, you know. It's like it's very, you know, different. We all come from different places. Yeah. You got the Latino with the camera, the Jewish girl, the black
and
girl,
it's not stolen.
Redneck. some kid from Pittsburgh. Black dude from Jersey. Like, you know, that's what it is. It's nice.
Okay.
All right, so let's go to the next one. Can you do this?
All right, next story for you guys. Women across the U.S. are risking their lives for black market procedures to make their buttocks bigger, often involving home improvement materials such as silicone injected by people with no medical training whatsoever. Some men are also seeking buttocks implants and enhancements, but the procedures are much more popular among women. Very big buttocks have been popular in hip-hop videos for years, celebrated by songs like the 1990s hit Baby Got Back by Sir Mix-a-Lot, with the lyrics, I like big butts and I cannot lie.
Blame the black man, huh?
Yep, there
that's
you
a Fox News angle. That's
unbelievable, man.
It's so hilarious that they got to bring up that.
Yeah, we're going from injections to hip-hop.
Hip-hop, yeah. But that's Fox News' thing, man.
There's a point to it. Now, there's a point to that. We'll get to that in a second. But first of all, it's
ass
like,
plants.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, guys getting ass plants, like, really? Is there are the guys that think you have flat asses?
Gay, they probably gay guys.
Probably gay guys.
What straight dude?
Yeah.
Yo, dog, my ass ain't plump enough.
Yeah,
I
man.
Got that raggedy ass. I need ass. To get that raggedy ass.
Jeans be sagging
as hell.
Yeah, man. I
you
need
ain't got
pump.
A choice but to sag. You ain't got no ass.
Yeah, ain't got no ass. Yeah, man,
yo,
I
know a Guatemalan dude.
That
lives in my building, the googie.
Right, world. Exactly. First floor.
With some fucking
stick some
silicone.
Spackle in your ass.
Some jello.
Some jello.
Whatever.
Some rat poison. Like, what? Is,
you know what? I'm good for these women. And this is why I'm going to say this.
Not good for these women. Not this article. This is horrible stuff that's
no, this
happening.
Is why, this is why I'm saying that. Look, we are in the age of going online and checking people out.
Yeah.
You could easily go online and see this doctor's credentials and stuff before you let somebody do plastic surgery.
Yeah, these aren't doctors. These are like guys
these
in a hotel room.
No, it's just cheap.
Point, they
oh, okay.
Doctors.
Yeah,
my
yeah.
point is, you can go see if this dude is accredited, sure. if his shit is straight. If not, if you just go to somebody that tell you they a doctor and go do surgery on you in some office that don't even look legit.
Like no. Like I don't think that's happening. I think people are purposely going. They're like, oh, it's
no,
so
there was
easy.
One that was going in to do it at people's houses.
Hmm.
Yeah. But they're
you know, so
this is
that's
like a
crazy
hotel room.
Yeah,
I mean, I feel bad, but that's so stupid to because once you do something like that, that's the rest of your life.
Yeah.
So why would you just put that in somebody's hands that you didn't even check out?
Because people don't care. They're
yeah,
desperate.
Is that,
and they,
is,
and
what's
cheap.
The desperation to
vanity.
Alter yourself?
Vanity.
I don't.
Vanity.
What
yes.
Hmm. That when stuff is cheap. Check it out, right?
Yeah,
everything
yeah.
that glitter ain't gold. Somebody yeah. giving you a
$25. Well, I think it's a bigger
makeover. Maybe you should check that out.
If you don't go to a doctor's office,
it's a yeah. But I think it's a deeper issue than that. It's more like, why can't we accept ourselves? I think
yeah, of course.
I think older men have been able to kind of embrace, like, because of the way that you know people portray older men being sexy and like you know kind of like being distinguished. Well, I think women kind of have this idea that they have to continually like fix themselves and patch themselves up and get eye surgery and get this surgery and that surgery. And I think it's more about self love. You know, with the person themselves. And
yeah,
not,
well, that's never
going
to happen. So,
but it needs to happen. Every
no
woman
fear.
I know is beautiful, and I and they find something wrong with them, and I'm just like,
no,
shut
but
up.
It's a whole society thing. I mean,
get
trust me.
It.
Even when there's something just about the vibe. I can't even describe it, but I will say that a little bit of traveling in Europe, older women are people think they're sexy. There's a whole world that revolves around that there, and it's so. Clear.
Older women.
Yep.
Being
yeah.
sexy.
Yep.
Yeah.
56.
Knowledge
I mean,
and wisdom
yep.
and confidence.
And they dress and everything. You know, yeah. It's not, it's just different.
It's not about
the black
implants.
Women.
It's different here.
Black
yeah.
women with their weight and stuff like that, like they just don't have the same hang-ups.
The hair, we have hair issues. Though.
Hair issues.
Yeah, that.
Yeah, but they
the
don't
lace
just,
front
they,
movement, the weaves, the wigs.
Yeah, but the
drives
weave,
me
but the,
insane.
It's an issue with you, but not the girls. They put it on and think
no,
they
but
look beautiful.
If you no, but it's an issue if you feel you need that to be
no,
beautiful.
No
if you have
than you
to,
want to wear a nice shirt, like to them, it's like let's put on.
Yeah,
the
but
thing.
Nah.
No, but he's saying if you need, if you feel you
if you need
to,
if your natural hair
to look good, then
if you
problem.
You know sometimes it's
you're
because
right.
you know it's maintaining a nice style and
you
all of that.
Fine.
But sometimes it's just I don't know, man. You know, hey, just all the extra hair, the hat, helmets, and all that stuff that we wear, and all the money we give to other to the Koreans and stuff just to. Have our hair like the Europeans, white women, you know. And people say white women get weave too, but it's still of their own texture. They're not getting yeah. Afro weaves, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, this is different. I mean,
that's funny. That's funny.
Like if a sister got a weave, but it was still some Afro hair.
Like, all right, well, I hear you. Longer than your shit.
Yeah, longer than your shit.
This is come back tomorrow.
Right, yeah.
Hey, in the crack of your ass.
But I'll see Facebook pictures where it'll be like, say, three white girls with their hair, and then it'll be a sister with her hair longer than theirs. And it's just weird to me.
Right.
Who used to do that joke, weird. Kyle? Remember what's his name used to do that joke? He said, you can't just come back with the weave down.
On Monday.
He said,
give me a little bit of weave a day.
Every week, just bring it down a little bit and fool them up for me.
You can't be Halle Berry one day and Diana Ross. That's hilarious. Sinbad. Huh? Sinbad did that.
See,
joke
that's crazy
too.
Because yeah. I mean, somebody stole it. Because I'm talking from about from my circle.
No, Sinbad did that a long time ago.
You see? So they stole it from
at
Sinbad.
At least fool somebody. Yeah.
So that means they stole it.
Yeah, they stole it from Sinbad. That's Sinbad's first hot special. Yeah.
Yeah. This I feel is deeper than a weave because it's like they're, you know, injecting Home Depot silicone. Oh yeah, that's
right. It's like how far will you go? $2,000, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Not only are you insecure, you're fucking retarded.
But yeah, go to Lowe's. We're naturally peacocks.
This silicone is cheaper.
Yeah.
Like we're naturally peacocks. We want to attract other people.
Any of you guys? Would you anything cosmetically? Would you change free? If you could do it for free.
My stepfather was a plastic surgeon. My mother remarried a plastic surgeon, and a lot of times he would turn down these girls.
You got your nose.
Turn down the black girls, right?
No, dude, this is my
Indian
nose.
It's a racist plastic surgeon.
Nobody touched this nose. It's a beautiful nose. But sometimes he would turn down girls, you know, because they would want cheekbones or they'd want whatever. Girls that were pretty that just have an illusion that they have to look like
a model.
Oh, they
have to have a consultation. The legitimate ones. And they won't do it on it if it's not for the right reason.
Yeah, he didn't do boob jobs. He didn't do anything like that. He did, like, minor facelifts and reconstruction. And it was like, you know, it's a lot of these people just have this. They look in the mirror. They see an ugly person.
And they hate
every woman I've dated, it sees an ugly person. Like, they don't see what men see. A lot of times we see how the woman is.
Yeah, and then they'd be like,
oh,
they don't see it. Their vision is
see the beauty.
You definitely.
But
definitely
I don't see how plastic parts.
Self-image is the problem.
Yeah. But I don't see how plastic parts would help you because we all know it's still fake. That's like me walking around with a fake dick. Yeah,
but you know what? That's a very enlightening position because I used to do this joke. My sister has had a lot of plastic surgery done, and I used to do
a joke.
Hot? Exactly.
Oh.
She looks great. I mean, and she got big fake boobs, and I used to do this joke that was mocking it. And basically, guys, and I don't think they were being funny, they would be like, hey, so, like, does your sister ever, like, come and hang out? Or all they wanted, they were just enticed by that.
Wow.
It all sounded great.
That's a big wonderful.
So there you go. You go, how do people want this plastic stuff? I don't think anyone has a fucking problem.
I don't like fake
tits. I'll take them if you give them to me, but I ain't.
I think we'd all be hypocrites.
I kissed
really
on them before, but
yeah,
no.
I felt on them kids, but they're not. It's weird.
Depends
weird,
on the girl. I had an ex-girlfriend that got B cup, you know, which was hilarious because most girls get C or D or whatever, and they just looked good. She had a really flat chest, and she got B cups, and they looked normal.
But with titties, it's the nipple anyway. Like, if you got nice nipples, if you could get nipple implants, that'd be good.
No, you can. Girls get that all the time.
Get the ones these.
But they do sell like little plastic things that you can put on yourself to make them look better in t-shirts.
No, but they also cut them up. I mean, you can get areola surgery where you can, like, you know, that happens all the time. Women get their big saucer nipples, like, you know. Down to
reduce
pepperoni.
Like,
I don't know.
Real flesh is supposed to fall to the side, lays on her back, and she's perfectly horizontal. That's creepy.
I've had both. I've had stripper girls and regular girls. It don't matter. It really, to me, it's about, I don't know, something beyond that.
Yeah.
Their vagina.
I had no stripper girls.
And what that mouth
None.
Do?
Not one stripper girl.
Not one.
No.
You didn't have one Chippendale dude.
Well, they're gay first. Yeah, I had the guy who does Tarzan. He's amazing.
Dante Nero.
Magic Mike.
Lao says y'all can't touch.
Yeah, I know Dante was.
Oh, yeah, right.
Mandingo. He was the Mandingo King. That was his name or something.
Mandingo.
They said he knocked off 11 women at one time. I don't know if I'm supposed to tell that on the air, but yeah.
It's probably three.
Used to get it in.
It's probably three.
Used to get it in.
Really? Why are you hating that? That's like, nah, no guy can do that.
You said 11 women at once?
Yeah. And one, like.
You mean in one night?
One night or some shit like that.
Bang 11 women?
But bang, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I did 4 in a row at the Village Lantern once.
Just
he's
so
like,
you could.
He's like, you know, I'll take the silver.
Yeah. Did you get on all of their shows, or how did that work at the Village Lantern?
Something like that, actually.
Yeah,
whiskey
but
and bathroom sex.
Some people go to, like, South American countries and other places to get those implants and all. And
yeah,
of course,
Brazil.
That's huge. Yeah, Brazil. Even a lot of women in the airline industry who are airline stewardesses will fly. Like, they know all about that world.
Where
so
to go
they,
and
yeah,
set up.
So
and
when they go on whatever trip.
No more stewardess.
That's right, flight attendants.
I know a few people have gotten that. Mike Epps' girlfriend got it. She looked good. Like, just a couple people have gotten it, and it looks okay.
Butt injections?
Yeah.
Nah, but, I wouldn't want no ass injections, man.
I'm just saying. It's,
and I feel like as you get older, weird. And a lot of girls that I know that got implants when they're younger, as they get older, it starts to look weird, you know? And I don't know if the silicone's eating them up or something. It's just thing. Like.
Skin changes.
Yeah, the skin changes, all of that. Yeah. Yeah, not good, man.
I mean, with time.
You look a little more.
I don't know. We're like 20 years away from just being severed heads in formaldehyde jars. Who cares?
Put our spirit in another body or something. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. As long as I have an ISD in line, what do I care?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, you know, I feel like in showbiz, I think it's definitely like women feel they have to look a certain way all the time. I just got onto this show, Orange is the New Black.
I love that show.
What's so great about this show, I feel like, huh?
With the tranny.
Yeah, that's one of the characters. But what's great about this show is like it's all female cast. They're in prison, and it's I think the first time I've ever seen on television where it's like women don't have to be beautiful. They don't have to be a certain race, a certain whatever. It's just all these different women, different genders, different sexualities.
Yeah, there's
and
one.
It's so cool.
I agree with you. If there's any reason to watch it, is to watch like basically 15. Character actors.
Oh.
I mean, that's like a great part of it. You know, just amazing. Like amazing. You're like, holy.
It's great.
You know, they tell women in auditions and stuff to lose weight.
Yeah.
Managers
absolutely.
And stuff. You got to lose weight. You got to do this and stuff. That's craziness.
This
and you don't
show's
want me.
Great.
You want somebody else.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think what happens too, like the show like this is the beginning, is like you have more, you know, roles that are deeper than just the hot chick next door or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that's what this show's, what's so great about it. It opens it up.
It's
for fast.
You know, there's a so I mean, obviously we have a different point of view. There, when I was in Scotland, supposedly they have like this Scottish soap opera, whatever. But it's working class people and their lives, and they're not particularly good looking or anything like that. And they put in a new character who was sort of, you know, like really good looking. And their viewers wrote in and said, not realistic. And they had to kill her.
Oh, really?
They
really?
Hated
her pretty bitch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They
too perfect. They're pretty freaking.
Can you imagine that happening in an American show? People are like, oh, you know, that girl
that hot chick? You got to get rid of her.
There's no way that nerdy guy be with her. There's no way.
Exactly.
I said, no, I'm not watching it if Jessica Alba going to be with her.
Jessica Alba as a computer expert? I don't think so.
Oh, yeah, right.
I have a problem. ABC? Oh, we respond to this. Yes, we'll change that. No problem.
Yeah. You know society has an image of beauty. When Monique started, God bless her, she fired her manager because the manager she had at first told her, she said, listen, you're never going to be the lead. You're always going to be like the fat friend or a friend. So that's what we're going to have to go for. And she was like, no, it's time for you to go, bitch. And right after that, she got on whatchamacallit, right after she fired the lady and got that. I was like, God bless you.
Got what?
Yeah.
She got what was
Precious?
The Monique show.
Monique.
Right after.
Right.
Right after that woman told her she was never going to be the
Yeah, if you
star,
have a big enough personality.
You can't listen
Did
to
Did she have an Academy Award before she got Monique show?
Huh?
Didn't she win the
No, no, no. Monique show was way before.
Oh, way before. Oh, okay.
Yeah, Monique show. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They finished production of Monique show.
Not the talk show she had.
Okay. I'm thinking about the talk show.
Yeah.
I was laughing, too, because like there's all this dumb trending on Yahoo. Jennifer Aniston posts photos with no makeup. In the last couple days.
They kill them when they do that
It's
stuff.
Amazing, right? Because, and you know, Jennifer Aniston, beautiful. But that woman has had some work over the years, right? Yeah. So,
right.
I mean, you know, her without makeup is, you know, the most of category. Us, rest of us with makeup, because it's already done.
Yeah. You know who looks really good without makeup? At least, it was a while ago, but Janet Jameson, the porn star, she looks great without makeup, because she does. She has, like, freckles. And she's like a natural
cute.
Blonde.
Right.
Like, it's just a beautiful face. And then they whore her up for these, you know, things. But she looks...
How is she with no makeup and a dick in her mouth?
Man!
That's where the problem starts.
You're out.
Yeah.
I'll count on you, Kyle.
Oh, okay.
I don't like how the freckles look against that dick.
I have a thing for freckles. I think I didn't notice your back.
Don't hilarious. You hear him do over there. Pull back that cock and get more of those freckles. Hey, Jim, we're getting too much cock over here.
Yay.
So it's all an illusion that's driving us all crazy, huh?
It's all an illusion.
Love yourself, everybody.
That's right. Love yourself.
Hey, Cabrillo. I guess we'll wrap it up. You guys want to plug anything? Mike, where are you at this week? What's going on?
Where
are
your
Twitters? What do you got?
Nah, where am I at this week? I am at Eastville.
Boo.
But I was at Greenwich Village Comedy Club.
Yay!
Last weekend.
Yay! Very fun.
Yep. This weekend.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right,
that's what I'm doing.
Okay.
I'm going away. I'm going to, something that nobody can come to. Should I plug it? Sure.
Yes, please.
Doing something called Generation Listen. It's an NPR thing that's supposed to be for young people, and you can tell that they've really got the young people when they call it Generation Listen. That sounds hip and trendy. But it's we're doing a live show for our radio show, Ask Me Another, on Wednesday.
That's amazing. You have a lot of great things happening.
Some more. Yeah.
So awesome.
Cool.
Really happy for you.
Thanks.
I'll be at the Comic Strip Live in Stanton, New York this week. And also check out our storytelling show at Greenwich Village Comedy Club every Sunday at 8 p.m. I'm really excited about it.
Very fun.
Yay. If it was so funny on it, it's about a guy with Garfield collection. It's so funny.
Yes.
So funny. I was watching you.
Don't tell me the sheet.
What's that? No. Who needs sheets when you have the real thing?
Oh, wow.
Like,
he took a cat and made it look like Garfield?
No, he had a thousand.
He
he had like 300 of them stuffed.
Really?
A collection.
Wow.
Did you sleep with him?
Yeah.
Well, Garfield looking at you.
I was far away from home. Okay? Oh, yeah. I was far away from home.
But you saw that collection, though. You didn't feel for your life.
Hey, sometimes you get so far into a plan and it's hard. You know, you got to see it through. That's the way it works.
That's what women say? That's what you ladies say?
That's what
you
I say. So I have no idea. Plan? I think the ladies have their own thing. This is what I say.
I have beanie babies.
See, bean babies would fuck me up way more.
Cool. Okay, cool.
August 14th, I'm at the Funny Bone in Syracuse. August 16th and 17th, I'm at the Hard Rock Cafe in Houston, Texas.
Nice.
So make sure y'all come check a brother out.
There, you're going to see some ass plants.
I think in Texas.
Houston. Yeah, that's
a
capital.
Yeah, ass plants. I don't get that, man, because you got to sit on it. Don't you afraid of something?
Popping. Yeah,
busting pop. And something. Ugh.
I don't think you can jog.
I don't get it. If anything, I would get a penis reduction.
Dude, you are officially out. That's the sixth or
yeah, I've been bombing all day.
Yeah,
I've been bombing all day.
You got the light. You got the light. Red light.
Oh, we gotta go.
All right, thank you, everybody. It was a great show, Hip Hop Radio.
Yeah, this was fun, man. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Thanks. Good job, guys.
Thank you, Carl.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, Dustin.
Thank you, guys. Ophir Eisenberg, Mike Britt. I'm Dustin Chafin. Kyle Grooms.
I'm about to go to the guy court taping and give him the stink eye.
Yeah.
Y'all don't have a big outro? Do like some music, some special show music y'all do?